Welcome to the Remnant. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor here. We do things differently. If you can't already tell, if you came to the meal, you probably got a little picture of that. If you didn't come to the meal, what's your problem? You get free food. That's silly. So if you didn't know that, you just popped in and didn't know that we do that. From 5 to 6, we have free food. And I always tell people, if you just want to come eat our food and then leave, that's fine. You're not going to, because we're really likable. But if you were, you could do that. So that's intentional, and if anything weird happens or unexpected, that was intentional too. So just go with it. So today, I need a volunteer for one of these hip illustrations. Blake, I'm thinking about it. You've got an attitude though, Blake. Fine, come on, Blake. I was gonna grab a girl today, but I'm going with Blake. Oh, nice, whoever said that. Come on up, Blake. All right, Blake, that's my shirt. You are a pretty capable guy. Don't sit on the stool, okay? Stay away from the stool. Come over here. All right? You're getting ahead of yourself. Now, what I want to do, you're a capable guy, right? You're a coach. You coach a couple different things, right? What do you coach?
Tennis and baseball.
Tennis and baseball. So you have to know how to teach. You seem pretty apt, pretty skilled. Good. What I want you to do is I want you to sit in that stool. Hey, there's a trick. See, you're waiting. There is. Here's the only thing. I want you to sit in the stool without walking over there, without moving. So go ahead. We're waiting. This is getting awkward. So I just need you to, like I said, just go sit in the stool or bring the stool to you, whichever you want, but don't move when you do it.
Can you bring the stool?
That's clever, but no. No. Okay, so you can't do that. Wow, this is not good, all right? You already told me you can do stuff. You can't do that. Next thing I want you to do. Are you good still? I would like you to, you can choose any of these instruments. Do you play instruments?
No.
No, no. Okay, great. Well, that's even better. What I'd like you to do is just pick an instrument up and go ahead and play a song for us. Blake, this is really getting awkward. I pulled you up here because you know what you're doing, and you've not succeeded in anything yet. So let me try this again. You couldn't move over there. Why could you not do that?
You told me I couldn't move.
You couldn't move. Okay, that's good. You see what I'm doing here? All right, why can't you play a song on the guitar?
I don't know.
Or a bass, whatever that is.
I don't know how.
You don't know how. Why don't you know how?
Never learned.
You've never learned. Okay, how do you learn?
By doing.
See, I see what I'm doing here? It's clever. All right, I got one more challenge for you. Now, I know you'll probably try this one, but just remember, there's a bunch of people looking at you now. So if you fail, this is going to be awkward. All right? I just want you to do 500 straight push-ups.
Nope.
Blake, you're embarrassing both of us. Listen, what I need you to do, why can't you do 500 push-ups, straight push-ups?
I'm not strong enough.
Why are you not strong enough?
Never.
You can't just want to do 500 push-ups? No, okay, good. I just like to pick on Blake. It was good. Thank you. Give him a hand. Yeah, thanks. I'm going to keep this up here. Thanks, Blake. Actually, it was perfect to pick on you. I give Blake a hard time all the time because he fibbed to me a lot. But he's a good guy. Listen, my point, and you can leave it there. My point with these kind of silly and unrealistic examples here is simply, you ready? You get a clue. If we want to get somewhere, anywhere, you have to move. Am I right? Unfortunately, as much as I like the X-Men, and I wish there were like healthy mutants, like not like disease mutants, but the kind that had powers and we could teleport, I've already lost you. Anyway, we don't. We can't teleport. If we want to go somewhere, if you want to go somewhere, you have to move. Period. And it's something as simple as sitting in a stool. I can sit here all day and tell you, oh, I'm so tired. I just want to sit. You're like, there's a stool there. Oh, why can't the stool come to me? Blah. Right? At the end of the day, I don't know what voice that was. Hey, guys. Sit on the stool. I can't sit on that stool without moving. There has to be movement. That seems like common sense, yeah? But as with most things in life, the simplest things are the most that we struggle with, are the things that we struggle with most. Right? Loving someone seems pretty simple. We know how to do that, but how often do we fail at it? Yeah. So many times in life, we, and I mean you out there right now, the one that's going, he's not talking to me. Yeah, I am. You feel stuck so many times in your life. We get tired, and by the way, I'm the same. We're tired, we're weary, you feel alone, angry, depressed, weary of being in a cycle of relationships that seem to be on repeat, with the only difference being the names change. We cry out wondering why God won't change our situation. Or we merely live in kind of a foggy autopilot. Anyone ever been there? You know what I mean? Where you're just existing, only sometimes interrupted by a situation that reminds us of that we're alive, usually through pain. And then all of a sudden we want to change again. We want to move, right? Pain's here. I don't want to be here. I just want things to change. It hurts, but we stand in the same place. Yeah, just like that. We search and search and search for some way to improve the way we feel, some way to avoid feeling this way all the time. We want rest. We want change. We want a vibrant relationship with God. Some of you in the room, Christian, non-Christian, I'll talk to the Christians now. You want a real relationship with God. Some of you in the room are like, I would do this God thing, I'd do this Christian thing if God would just move in my life, if it'd be real and it'd be tangible and I could feel it. We want to be somewhere else. We want to grow. We want to change. We want change. If I were to have everyone in the room, I might later, close their eyes and say, is there something in your life you want to change? 90% of you would raise your hand. But we won't move. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James 1, verses 22 through 25. James 1, verses 22 to 25. When you got it, say, I got it. Nice. It'll be up on the screen if you don't have it. We'll start at verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works. This person will be blessed in what he does. I think the first verse of this section, James, anyone want to take a stab at who wrote the book of James? No, you're horrible. James. Somebody's going to have to take Wolfie downstairs. He's talking today. The first verse of this section is fascinating for several reasons. For one, it starts by telling us to be doers and not hearers. I love that. Right? Be a doer. Don't just talk or know the truth, but walk the walk. Do something. It's incredible to me that this is written, 2,000 years ago, and James has to say this to people, and it could easily be written to you and me. Hey, why don't you do something? Why don't you just not say that you know or that you hear it? Yeah, I hear you. How many of you have heard people say, oh, I hear you? What does that mean? Your ears work? I hear you. I have a phrase for this. Myself personally, for what James is saying in this first sentence. There are a lot of people, guys, this is very serious. There are a lot of people in this world dealing with a very serious medical condition. I've called it the I know syndrome. Now, if you've ever talked to these people, you'll know them usually by some of their characteristics. One, they will tell you they know everything you say. And by the way, there's a good 60-70% of you in here, I love you dearly, but you got this. You got it bad. I know. I'll be talking to you, and I might even tell you my grandma's name. Hey, my grandma, who you've never met. Oh, I know. I know. What? How do you know? You know everything. See, everyone knows the truth. Everyone knows how to get out of a situation. So many people I talk to know the right path. They're stuck, right? Man, I'm really struggling. And you try to talk to them, like, oh, I know. That's kind of like the house is on fire and I'm going, oh my gosh, there is the way out. The place is on fire. The door's right there. Oh, I know. I don't want to die. House burning. Okay, you know where the door is, but you're not moving towards it. That's, by the way, what that comes from is usually a couple things. It's pride, right? A little bit. We don't like to be told anything. And for some reason, we think that just because we know, or as James says here, because we've heard something, that means we never need to hear it again. Well, if you haven't done anything, you need to hear it again. Yeah? So many people I talk to know everything, but it's pretty apparent that knowing and doing are separate things. In fact, every one of you is guilty of it. I am. And I love the picture. So you're like, what does it mean? You know, the first verse. Right after that, James gives us kind of an analogy. He says, listen, people that, I'll paraphrase, give you the Todd version. If someone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's kind of like a man that goes and looks in the mirror and he walks away and he forgets what he looks like. And before you say, well, I don't do that, how many times in the morning you look at yourself before you walk out? Especially you girls and me. Right? You come back. Why do we do that? Why do you do that? He's kind of making a joke a little bit, right? You go back. Why do you have to go back? Because you don't know. Well, what if something changed? Did something change from the time I cleaned my sideburns up till I turned my back? No, but I always got to do a double check, right? What's going on? In this verse, we're told that the person who doesn't just know or hear goes on further. But actually does something, the person who looks, quote, intently into God's perfect law of freedom. How many of you in this room, don't raise your hand and don't talk, Wolfie. What this boils down to is, how many in this room say that, would actually tell yourself when you think of the Bible and you think of God that it's actually about freedom? You don't think that. Most of you, well, God's telling me what I can't do, man. Nobody tells me what I can't do. Right? People tell you can't do all the time. They don't want you going out killing people and murdering them. Why? It's not good for the person you murder. It's not good for you. You're going to jail. There's freedom. Let me tell you something that the world gets confused on. I didn't finish my sentence. Everything that God tells us to do is for our good. No, yeah, right, Todd. No, I'm serious. Every single thing that God tells you to do or don't do in His Word is for your good. Every single thing. Well, I've done this before, Todd, and nothing bad happened. You're right. And if I play Russian roulette, I might pull that trigger 5 times before anything happens, right? But eventually, it will. There's freedom when you follow God's law because I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be worried about me, myself, like things happen in life, but I don't have to worry about me, myself, going to prison. I don't have to worry about me and myself going through this cycle. God says, hey, you probably should not have sex before marriage. And if He doesn't say probably, He says don't. Why? That's no big deal. The reason is because when you break up, it hurts more. For one thing, right, it's much more than that, but let's just focus on the selfishness of it. It does. Everything God tells you to do or don't do is for your good. Now, there are things that man has added to God's word, right? They make up rules, and that doesn't feel so good anymore. But that's not what God's about. That's man-made stuff. That's what breaks my heart about people's confusion with the gospel. Most of the time, your problem's not with Jesus, your problem's what you've been told about Jesus. What you've been told about this Christian thing. I get mad about it. Wasn't raised in the church. If you're new, I could tell you that. Pushed back against God for years and years and years and years. Why? Because the Jesus they told me about, I wanted nothing to do with. I couldn't carry the weight. I knew I wasn't good enough. I knew I couldn't be good enough. I didn't have enough money, have the right clothes. I was going to mess up. But that's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus of the Bible's number one priority is restoring us, healing us, loving us, saving us. You want to know something? He didn't wait for you to save yourself. He moved to save you. Anyway, it says, look into God's perfect law of freedom and perseveres. That's an interesting word. Perseveres implies what? There's going to be times it's hard, right? You don't persevere through eating a piece of cheesecake. I really hope you persevere. That's enjoyable. I'm not worried about it. I'm not struggling unless you have like a whole cake, which I can do at times, right? Then I'm persevering at the end. Whew, I'm going to finish this. Yeah. Persevering is implying that it's an acknowledgement by James even that, listen, it's not easy to be a doer. It's not easy to follow God. It's not easy when there's things all around you that look more attractive, that look easier, that are actually more fun in the short term. I don't deny any of that. Perseveres. Acknowledgement that it's tough sometimes, but if we persevere despite how it feels, despite how things look, or how many easier or more attractive options there are, if we persevere, the person who does that will what? You know, we hide from these. I think we make excuses for God sometimes because we're afraid he won't come through, right? I don't want to tell you to pray about this crazy, you know, your uncle's crazy disease and really scary thing because I've heard this before, what if the person dies and we pray for him? What if he doesn't? I don't need to make excuses for God. God is God, and I know that if he wants to, he can heal. But it's on him, right? Doesn't matter how many times I do a Hail Mary or pray, God is God. But the person who does this, we make excuses. So I'm not going to make one. He says, the person will be blessed in what he does. I want you to think about that for a minute. Does that mean you're going to get $1 million tomorrow? No. That's another way things are twisted. Right? You follow Jesus, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Oftentimes the opposite of that, but you will be blessed. Let me ask you something. What if I told you, by the way, picture that Morpheus meme, you know which one I'm talking about, with the glasses. What if I told you that following God and doing what he says will actually lead to a better and more fulfilling life? Wouldn't it have been cool if I'd have had one of those made? Yeah, but I didn't. I don't prep. Anyway, think about this. What if I told you that following God, listen, those of you zoning out, I know that you started thinking about cheesecake, got excited. If following God and doing what he says would actually lead to a better and more fulfilling life. Not your definition of better, because by the way, some of your definition of better, I don't want to go in there. It's a crazy, scary place. Really better. Right? Your kids think it's better to have, I use this all the time, a pan full of brownies for dinner. They think that's better. Is that better for them? No. What if you follow God, if you do something, stop saying you know and show me something. The whole book of James is really about that. Faith without works is dead, and then people get all confused, meaning like, does he mean we have to save ourselves? It's not through faith. No, he's just saying if you have faith, it's going to show itself in what you do and how you act. Some of you are stuck and miserable, and instead of moving, you just start grabbing everything close. Instead of grabbing that stool, I grab this and try to sit on it. Eventually it crashes, and I'm like, oh, there's nothing else. Maybe I can sit on this thing. And I crush that. And life keeps falling over and over and over because you won't move. You won't do. If you're members of this church, you come here every week and you hear me say the same thing, and I know you and I love you regardless, but I have to sit and watch you be miserable and hear you say God hates you, and I'm sitting here going, God's telling you how to get out of the burning house, and you're complaining because you're not moving. Got to move. God is looking out for your good. I know it doesn't feel that way sometimes, right? Life is hard. People hurt us. People pass away. There is some evil in this world, guys, that I'm off of Facebook 98% of the time. So if like we're friends and you're like, Todd blocked me, no, I just deactivated. I didn't block you. All right, I'm a weirdo. And I'll pop back on and have to get off. But other than that, I hate getting on because it's a reminder all the time of evil. I don't look at the news, man, because it's just evil. But you know why? That's not God's fault. It's because a lot of people have been sitting in a burning room when God's trying to tell them how to get out. But they won't move. They try to create their own holes in the wall. They try to do this and that. They won't move. Happens all the time. That was planned. Told you. God is looking out for your good. Now listen, all you Christianese with your Christians and you people, you I know syndrome. I know I could get you a pill so you can take it. You'll be able to hear this. You ready? I know you know this, so let me preface. I know that you know. So don't tell me that. Listen. What if you actually believed and actually lived out of the idea that God is out for your good? That God's not waiting to hit you with a thunderbolt. That God's not sitting there waiting for you to mess up so he can go, ha, caught you. But that God is saying, this place is on fire and I know the way out. What if you really lived that way? Would it change the way you looked at the Bible? Would it change it the way you looked at the times that you're struggling with that temptation? You know what to do and what you should do, but you don't. But you can actually say, even though I want to do this so bad, that little kid wants those brownies so bad, and then give me a really good argument for why. I mean, they can. Some kids are really clever, and it's hilarious, and I almost want to give them the brownies, right? Because they make a lot of valid points here. But at the end of the day, we know one simple fact, that eating that full plate of brownies is just going to hurt their belly, make them sick, they'll probably puke on your bed, then you got to get up in the middle of the night, it's a big mess, right? We have to believe that God is out for our good. And if that's the case, and by the way, I want you to hear, I'm talking to myself. That will help us be doers. There's the way out. Do you believe him? Or are you so scared that that might not be the way out? I'd rather sit here and burn because that feels safer than move. I look around, I see so many people in my life, and so many of my friends, my family, my church, and honestly, that guy that looks back at me when I look in the mirror, checking my sideburns, that guy, I see people who are absolutely miserable sometimes, and it breaks my heart. And some of you, you know those people because they talk to you, right? You ever talk to someone and they're telling you what their problem is, and you see it so clearly what to do, don't you? You know how to get out of it. You can say, just do this. Just stop snorting that coke. Whatever it is, right? Just, you'll be happy. But they don't see that, do they? They don't do that. Now, think of yourself and the times that you're doing the same thing. The story might be a little different. The characters might change. But you're not moving. I see people who are miserable, people who think God hates them, people who think God's evil, people who want something to change in their life. They want to get from point A to point B. I don't know about you, but I literally sometimes feel like, I'm stuck in a rut. I just want to move forward. How many of you have used the phrase, this is going to be, raise your hand, I just want to move forward. Ever in your life you've said that? Good. All of you except the liars. Yeah. You've said that, right? I want to move forward. Yeah. From point A to point B. But we don't want to move. It takes work. But they won't move. You know your life's on pause or sometimes even on repeat, and you want to sit in that stool, but you won't take the steps to get to it. Sometimes it drives me crazy. Listen, I'm going to give you a secret. I'm a terrible pastor. Okay, I think this all the time. I'm like, God, I'm waiting for the joke to end, and I'm literally scared of that sometimes because I get angry really easy. Like, I'm the guy that when you don't want to move, I'm about to get you in a headlock and pull you out the door. Like, that's the way I want to do things. That's me. And I get that way right now. I'm a little fired up because I'm looking at some of you, and I already know you're going, oh, can't wait to eat my cheesecake. Right? I got a new one every week. Hey, guys. Let's see, if you haven't been here before, that's going to seem real weird. That was planned. But it frustrates me because those in the room, some of you that can't pay attention for 20 minutes, are the ones that God is trying to get to move. Not because he wants to see you run around like a chicken with his head cut off, but because he wants you to get from point A to point B. He wants you to stop sitting in the mud and the muck. He wants you to stop thinking that this is all life is. I have to accept this simple fact. This is life. It sucks. Pardon my French. It stinks. I just want to move, right? You just want to move. Listen, you will not change. You ready? Those of you, the cheesecake people, this is for you. Listen, you will not change yourself or your life. I don't care how far you are in your journey. We all have another step we can take. You will not change anything in your life by doing nothing. I promise you. You can sit on that couch all day, watch Netflix, you know, eat that pan of brownies you didn't give to the kids, and the cheesecake that Todd brought over. All those things, you can do that all day, and you can wait for life to move you, but sometimes it doesn't. You want to know one of the scariest things in the world? Is there are people that are 90 that are the same as they were when they were 18. They go their whole life struggling with the same thing because they weren't willing to move. You won't change by doing, let me give you the other side, you won't change by doing the same things over and over again, by doing the things that God says not to do. You can't make your own way. I'll go back to the burning house thing, right? The house is burning down, there's an open door, and you're too busy over there with a tiny little hatchet, like trying to... Just think of the insanity of that. Here's a way out, and I'm over here trying to just knock a little hole in the wall that I can go in because I don't know. I want to be in control. There's a door, dude. You're going to burn. Get out of the house. I'd rather take my time and make another door. Or with a spoon. You're trying to dig your way out. Those old prison movies, right? You won't change by doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different result. You've heard the saying. What is that? What is the definition of insanity? Is doing the same thing over and over again. It's like those mice. You've heard me use this before. Isn't that sad? But humans do that too. You teach the mouse, okay, if I touch this, I'm going to get shocked. Maybe this time I won't. Some of you do that. Hey, that's, and they do it for like nasty cheese, right? Like it's not even good cheese. There's like a good piece over here, and they're like, fascinating studies on mice. You got to take a look at that. Listen, you have to move. Now, earlier I told you, excuse me, that was planned. Earlier I told you that you would, that I was going to have you close your eyes, right? So I'm going to have you, I can see you, by the way. So if you try to cheat, watch this. Look at this. This is scary. I could come down here. I could come up to you, put your hand on like a teacher and be like, really, Brandon? Let's get that head down. All right? So I want you to put your heads down right now. Close your eyes. I see you, Jill. I'm just kidding. She's not cheating. I just like to mess with her. All right, keep your head down. Now, ready? Be real. And let me finish before you do it. Raise your hand if you're not happy. Raise your hand if you're struggling with depression. Raise your hand if you feel empty and alone. Raise your hand if there's anything in your life that you want to change. All right, put it down. You put your heads up. Heads up, 7-0. Ha! I tapped. The ones I tapped, get up front. I'm just kidding. Any of you play that game, or am I too old now? Heads up, 7-up, anyone? Nice, I feel a lot better. Tim, don't lie. Anyway, yeah, there's a whole lot of you, the majority of you. Now, I tricked you, like the people that tricked me back in the day. I'll get to that in a minute. Some of you in the room today, you're in that cycle of relationships. You think, oh, if I just have that girl to sit with me in a burning house, everything will be cool. And then she leaves, and you're like, crap, I'm still in a burning house. You think, oh, man, if I have that nicer car this time, if I have a little bit more money, I'm going to be feeling better finally. I'll cheat a little bit here or there. No big deal. I can steal this, do that. It's okay. And it always falls through. You're stuck thinking your marriage is loveless and worthless and you hate it. It'll never change. You're miserable. You don't want to go home. Some of you just feel like life has nothing for you. You've lost all hope. You've given up, laid down, and said, this is the best life can offer me. And you're sitting in the mud. And I'm here to tell you, and I mean this, that Jesus is telling you that's not all life is. Those of you in the room, we're gonna kind of close up early. Corey's going to be really pumped. You didn't even have to play with your truck. She's going to come up and play a song. And while she does, I want to ask you a couple questions. Those of you in the room that raised your hand, every week, if you've been here at the Renman before during this time, what we do is we have people up here ready to pray with you. All right? Now, you don't need anyone to pray to God on your behalf. Be clear about that. But some of you use that as an excuse not to move. Ooh, you like that? You think, you know that God's calling you to get prayer. See, the Bible says that we confess our sins, our struggles to each other, and we get prayed for by other people, and we are healed. I paraphrase the verse, but that's essentially what it says. There's something about that God honors when we move forward, when we take a step. It's amazing. I can take one step, and God says, that's it, right? It's like a little kid you're teaching how to walk. They could take two steps, and you celebrate like they're the greatest athlete that's ever walked the earth, right? Like Miles. Yeah, Miles is the best. He took three steps. Now he walks all over. But my point is, at the beginning, yay, right? That's Jesus. You don't have to fix it all. Are you willing to take a step? See, some of you in this room raised your hand, and every week I have people up here praying to pray for you, and you're not willing to walk 25 feet to get prayer. You're not willing to move 25 feet to possibly do something different and have change in your life. And God's saying, I've told you, you know who you are. You know that the Spirit every week tells you to go up there and get that prayer and confess that sin, and you're so scared that you'd rather stay in misery than have change. You'd rather stay in misery than walk 15 feet to the front. And then you're going to complain. God won't hear me. You want God to do it all sometimes, and then sometimes you don't want Him to do anything. God loves you. It's amazing how much God loves us, that He gives us free will. Have you ever thought of this? It's an amazing thing, free will, that a good and holy God, because I told you, remember earlier, my temper, if I was God, some of you would be in big trouble. Because the whole head, like if I didn't have to put in your headlock and shoot lightning bolts around, things would be crazy, right? But God in His patience says, I love you so much that I don't want any of you to not be with me. Did you know that the only reason Jesus hasn't come back, it's not because He's old and He's forgotten. It's not because He doesn't see your sin. It's only because in His patience, He's waiting for you to move. So those in the room today, you remnant people that have been here a lot and you raised your hands and I saw you, are you willing to move 25 feet? Are you willing to move 5 feet? Are you willing to move 10 feet? Are you willing to be embarrassed? You've seen me up here pray. You think I'm embarrassed? Because in those moments when my heart cries out and I need healing and I'm hurting and I need God to move in my life, I'm willing to move 10 feet. I'm willing to walk to the front of this crowd and say, I don't care what Emma thinks, even though she wouldn't think that. I don't care what Jess thinks. I'm doing this for me and God. Will you move today? Some of you in the room, let's be real. This Christianity thing, you've heard it a million times. It's stupid. It's dumb. I do my own thing, right? That's the way I did it. That's partly because you've never been told what the gospel really is. It's not a set of do's and don'ts. You want to know something really crazy? The Bible is way more about the do's than the don'ts. Do you recognize God? Do you realize that God is God and you are not? Do you realize that on your own merit you can't save yourself? That those things you're ashamed of, those things that no one will forgive, that hurt that's there, that what if it's real? Let me tell you what the gospel is. God made everything. If you don't believe that, that's silly, right? Go out and look at the sun. Go look at the moon. Go look at a tree. Look at a baby and tell me that somebody didn't create that. That's step one. God loved us so much that, remember the free will thing? God said, listen, here's what I want you to do. You can do anything you want in this earth. I made it for you. Only thing I ask is, you go by what I say for what is good and evil. I tell you what's good and evil. Nobody else. You don't get to determine what's good and evil. You listen to me, because that's what the tree was all about. And even then, we rejected it. You know why? Because we would rather be God than listen to God. But we're just playing house. You're not God. You can live your whole life. These rich people, these thugs, these actors, they can live and act like a god on earth, but when they die, they will stand before the only real God. And in that moment, when we walked away, God said, because he is good and because he is holy, he cannot be around that. So he said, you want your way? Have your way. C.S. Lewis said it that way. It's either this way. He said, listen, it's either we say to God, thy will be done, or God says to us, thy will be done. He doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose it. Because you'd rather stay in the burning building. So God made a plan. Thousands of years of human existence without God, you see what happens. War, death, disease, sin. Sin is both an action, anything that's contrary to God's will, and also a nature. We have it in us now. You're born with it. We need a Savior, whether you could live the perfect life or not, which you can anyway. I broke one of the Ten Commandments probably 15 times this week, right? We all do. But God said, I have a plan. And remember what I said earlier? God said, I won't wait for them. Guys, hear me. The most beautiful thing in the world. God was willing to move to us. Whew. God was willing to move to us. We couldn't bridge the gap. We couldn't be holy enough, so he said, that's okay, I'll come to you. And that's who Jesus is. I'm not going to argue with you, because you've been lied to your whole life, some of you young people. You don't realize that this world doesn't want Jesus around, so they lie to you and fill your head with all this stupid stuff and tell you that he's not real. That's a lie. He existed, so you got to decide who he is. Is he who he said he was, or a lunatic? Because he's not anything in between. He said, I am the Son of God. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through me. What does that mean? It means that when Jesus came and he died on the cross for your sins, it wasn't just the fact that they hung an innocent man to die. It's that he took all the world's sin. In that moment, he died a spiritual death. He experienced hell in a way. The complete absence of God. On the cross, he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he cried that so you never have to. And the Bible tells us the best part, very simple. If you confess with your mouth, you got to move. You with me? You got to move. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Period. Doesn't matter what man adds to it, that's the gospel. Now, while she's playing, those of you in the room that's not there, you don't have to leave today wondering anymore. You don't have to leave today going, man, if I died today, where would I go? You can leave today with utmost confidence that you'll be with him. You'll be with God. We give him our sins. He gives us eternal life, salvation, holiness, all of it. So, as there are some of these people who I know are going to move today, these remnant folk who raised their hand, I know you're going to move. Will you move today too? Will you take that one step? You may not have all the answers. You might be like, I don't know, Todd. This doesn't feel right. That's cool. Take one step. God will come the rest of the way. Are you willing to walk up, get someone beside you? Maybe you're more comfortable with me. I'll be wandering around aimlessly. And ask us to pray that with you. I don't want to pray it because I save you. I want to pray with you so we can celebrate. Don't leave here today in the same spot. Move.